You're Locked On Avalanche, your daily podcast on the Colorado Avalanche. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome everybody to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. From Locked On Avalanche, I am Chris Maselli, and I was flying solo last week, but my co-pilot, Mr. Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning, is back from a brief reprieve. Are you well rested, ready to talk some hockey, my friend?
Yes, I am ready to go. I'm ready to be your wingman once again.
Goose to my Maverick, basically.
Absolutely. And I feel the need to talk about hockey again. So right. Let's go and do it.
All right. Baseball season's over, so we can get back to hockey.
Yes.
So on the docket today, we feel like we have to throw out our condolences to Joey Moss. So we're going to talk about that. The Mitchell Miller story, which is obviously kind of taking over the NHL right now. We're going to talk about some contract extensions that have come through the pike and what we would do to get this next NHL season started. So we will get to all of that. So why don't we start off, like I said, with, you know, kind of a few minutes on Joey Moss. I think everybody around the NHL and, you know, the collective family was really, you know, touched by this. So, you know, even if you're not an Oilers fan, it didn't really matter. You knew he was like a special kind of guy, and you know, life threw challenges at him, and he obviously tackled them and touched a lot of people in the process. So it was really sad to hear that he had passed away, 57 years old, a locker room attendant for the Oilers for, I mean, how long? 30 years, I think.
Yeah.
Something like that. So yeah, when I first heard it, I'm like, it was just one of those things where it's like, here's another 2020 crappy storyline, basically. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't entirely sure who he was. I'm not as plugged in into what's going on in Edmonton as maybe someone who actually lives in Edmonton is, but obviously me covering the Tampa Bay Lightning and you as well as, you know, with Colorado. But as I read more about Joey, it was really heartwarming to see how much of an effect he had on that city and the Edmonton Eskimos, as well as obviously the Edmonton Oilers. It's a really cool story about how he started. His sister was dating Wayne Gretzky in the mid 1980s, and they struck up a friendship, and then that was a friendship that was going on until this day. And it really evolved into not only him, of course, having a job with the Oilers, but him kind of becoming a local hero. Yeah. And you know, it's really special to see whenever someone has that kind of effect on a city. So yeah, we throw our condolences out to the Moss family as well as the Eskimos and the Oilers. So yeah, just another crappy storyline. Only 57 years old, but if anyone hasn't really dug into the Joey Moss story, go ahead and read it. I mean, it was, if you ever wanted to read something to really motivate you, if you're feeling down on yourself, here's someone, perfect example of someone who had the odds stacked up against them and just refused to let that hold them down. So yeah.
I mean, like I said, it's a crappy storyline, but like you said, if you aren't too familiar with him and you do some like digging and watch some videos and read some things on him, it does make you feel good about, you know, life and, you know, someone beating the odds. So definitely go check out some Joey Moss stuff. So yeah. On the flip side of that, you know, we kind of have to go down a dark path now and talk about the Arizona Coyotes. It was their first draft pick of this last year. They didn't have a first, second, or third. So this was their first pick of the draft, Mitchell Miller. And I'm sure many of you are familiar with the story. If you're not, quickly, him and another classmate when they were 14 years old bullied another classmate that not only was a black classmate, but was development or is developmentally disabled. So at the age of 14, he had the mental capacity of someone who was 10. And I talked about this on my Avalanche show, and I don't really want to get into the specifics of what they did to him because it's rather disgusting. So if you want to go find it, please go find it. But just know it's pretty terrible what they did to this kid. So fast forward 4 years later and he gets drafted. And, you know, there's a wide range of opinions on are you okay with this? Are you okay with him getting another chance? Some people don't feel that he deserves it. Other people feel like, you know, you have to give people second chances. We give people second chances all the time. He deserves one. Me, knowing what I know and just of what's come out in the story and looking into how things were done, Arizona knew, every team knew, because he sent out a letter to every single team. And Arizona has the mindset of, we are the best team to take him because we can guide him through this, which I think is a ridiculous statement. And the reason I feel that way is because in reading statements from the family of the kid who was bullied throughout the, you know, after they were caught doing this and they had to do community service and they read a statement, there's been nothing in that timeline where Mitchell Miller has really shown any contrition over the course of those 4 years. It's like he did it, he didn't get away with it, and just kind of ignored it and didn't do anything to right any of those wrongs other than what was thrown on him in like community service. He doesn't seem like he really is truly sorry it happened. I think he's more sorry he got caught. So I'm on the side of, I don't buy what he's selling. And I don't feel that way across the board. There's other ways of life. Like you brought up when we were talking before the show, you brought up like Michael Vick and his dog fighting thing. Michael Vick went to jail, paid his debt to society, if you want to say that. And another team said, that's good enough. You know, he did what was thrown at him and we're going to sign him. You can agree with that or disagree with that, but Michael Vick paid a debt. I don't feel like this kid really did. I feel like he more or less got away with something that's just as egregious of what Michael Vick did. So what's your take on this whole thing?
And this is the first time I've actually, since the whole story broke, really been talking about it with anyone. But there are conflicting reports out there, you know, now that I'm kind of reading it as you were talking.
Right.
You know, some reports are saying that he tried to hide it, not only from the University of North Dakota, but he kind of tried to see how far he could get away with it from the NHL. And then I'm hearing, you know, the other side of that, he was very forefront. So, you know, you really don't know which is which. I mean, you know, really right now he is controlling the narrative to some degree, but just hearing and reading all the details of what happened back then, I don't know what eighth grader would do things like that. You know, that we were talking before the show about how I felt that was kind of maybe a situation of him not having the right people around him in his life to help, to really guide him at that point. I mean, you know, that's a very, we both know, we've both been that age before where that's a very pivotal point in your life where, yeah, you know, you could, you're really in the prime growth of who you're going to be, in your life. And so I could see that, but I kind of have to piggyback on what you said. I mean, there was really no repercussions. I mean,
not really.
And if you really dive into the details, I mean, it's really troubling and disturbing to where I don't know if something like that could go away in four years.
Right.
And I'm not here to say he should never play in the NHL, but I think if he was really sorry about what he did, and I know, you know, people once they make a mistake and they apologize, they really want to go on with their lives. But I really think the right thing to do in this moment for Mitchell is to maybe sit out this season, really try and, especially with everything that's gone on in the world the last 6 months.
Right.
I think that would be the best thing, because right now this is bigger than hockey. This is people not questioning his playing ability. It's questioning his character.
Exactly. You know, so, and if Arizona had called this kid's family and said, you know, we know that this happened, what's their relationship been like the last 4 years? Has he, you know, tried to right the wrongs more than just saying it in a letter? And if the family came back and said, you know what he did when he was 14 was dumb, but we've seen a change in him over the, they're still, you know, maybe they remain friends somehow. None of that happened. The Arizona did not get a hold of the family. They didn't really care what they thought of it. And they're basically saying, we don't care that he did this to this kid.
Yeah.
And for them to not have a first, second, or third round draft pick, this guy was at the top of their draft list.
Yeah.
That's what character guys are you going for here, Arizona?
Yeah. It's definitely a head scratcher considering that was their first pick in the draft. But
right.
Like I said, with everything that has gone on and now with the formation of the Hockey Diversity Alliance, I don't see this kid playing this year. And if he does, this is definitely going to follow him for the rest of his career. And I believe in second chances, but this is a very delicate situation.
Right.
And I think that it was very careless for Mitchell Miller, especially Arizona.
Right.
It's not a good situation all around. And I think that maybe the league maybe needs to talk to both parties and figure out a solution soon, because I can't see this going over smoothly if he does decide to play.
No, there's a lot of flack going the Arizona Coyotes way, and we'll see how they handle it. So, all right, let's get to one of our sponsors for today. That is rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like the airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "locked on" in the section where it says, "How did you hear about us?" so they know that we sent you there. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right. So we have some signings within the past few days, which is cool because, you know, I like the free agency period, and I always like seeing where guys go, and these are kind of like signings that can still make or break a team. We have arbitration kind of going on right now, so you're going to probably see more signings. But who do we have that's kind of been in the last couple days, if you got it in front of you?
So right off the bat, and I've actually kind of received some flack for this, but because, you know, agreeing with you on all the Avalanche picks, I mean, considering the draft and just free agency, Joe Sakic is a genius. Let's just state it right there.
I won't disagree with that.
I just think that, I mean, if they do end up winning a cup, which they very well should, his name should definitely be first when they put the names of the players and the staff on the cup. But starting off the bat, let's get right to it. Devon Taves, 16.4 mil, 4 years, no brainer here. Just a great trade to start off to get him, and then just kind of locking him up for the next 4 years. I know you're super excited about this.
Oh, and insanely insane. Yeah. And they avoided arbitration. He was headed towards arbitration. Yeah. And that is another player. Joe Sakic, the only one that's left is the other guy that they got in that deal, Burrows, and yeah. he is due for arbitration. And that's going to be, you know, that's not going to be a huge deal at all. If that one does go to arbitration, that is the only deal that has gone to arbitration for the Avalanche. And they had a number of guys that could have went, and he beat it. He beat it to the punch and signed mm-hmm. all of them before yeah. that. That's just a guy getting stuff done.
Yeah. I'm kind of the firm believer in you should never let a player or negotiations go to arbitration, because then you could potentially be paying maybe a little bit more than you would have liked to, maybe just kind of get ahead of it before it really gets to that point. But speaking of arbitration, Tyler Bertuzzi winning his arbitration, 3.5 for 1 year. I just love Tyler Bertuzzi. I just love to watch him play. So definitely deserves the money.
This falls in line with what the Red Wings are trying to do. Like, you were explaining to me what the Red Wings are trying to do, and this makes sense, right? Because it's just a 1 year deal.
Yeah. Just try just with the players, like, you know, kind of just talk about that. Just spend the money when you absolutely need to. And we're seeing it right now. He didn't need to, Stevie Y didn't need to spend the money. So, you know, why try and throw the money at him when you could possibly flip him in a couple of years?
Yeah.
One signing that I really did like, just because I'm just rooting for this kid, because I feel like he hasn't really lived up to the expectations that were kind of set for him, and that's Josh Hosang from the New York Islanders. He got re-signed to a 1 year deal for $700,000, which obviously is not a lot, but I'm really rooting for this kid. When he first came up, he was supposed to be like their top prospect and never really took that next step in his development. So I would love to see him maybe become a star out there on the island.
And what position is he?
He's a right winger. So he's only 24. So, you know, it's not like there's the clock's ticking.
But, yeah.
And then we got Chris Tierney for Ottawa. I love Chris Tierney as well. $7 million for 2 years.
Okay.
At the center position, and we've talked about in the past about how a little bit thin the center position is throughout the NHL, and how more important than ever now it is to really have a reliable guy. And then Ottawa going on and signing Alex Galchenyuk for a year, one point million and change. So you know, they're really
where's Ottawa getting all this money, man?
I
got to bring up their cap salary.
Ottawa has just been, other than Colorado, Ottawa has just been continuing to impress me. I mean, they had a great draft, and they're spending the money where they need to. They're kind of doing the same thing Detroit is doing. And if it really all comes together, if this team plays the way they're supposed to play, oh, watch out.
Yeah. So they still have, let me see. So they, who was the two guys that you, oh, Tierney. Okay. So this is 3-9. All right. So this is already updated. They still have $17.6 million in cap space.
Yeah. That's a, what that's the a, heck? I know that's maybe two big time deadline acquisitions right there.
And it looks like all their RFAs and UFAs are signed.
Yeah.
They just got to fill in a couple spots, but oh my God,
man. Paired along with those new jerseys and logo. Forget about it. Oh man. just unbelievable. I hopefully that the potential plans for the realignment for this upcoming season stays true. Cause then my Lightning won't have to worry about them, cause they'll be in the Canadian division.
So
we won't have to worry about those guys at least until the playoffs. So that's a good thing. Cause I mean, I don't expect them to win the cup this year. I don't expect them to win the cup in 2 years, but they are definitely one of those teams that's going to be on the up and up.
Well, interestingly enough, they have, so after the 21-22 season, they got a good number of free agents that they have to figure out.
Yeah. So
we'll see on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we just have maybe a couple of, you know, those were really the most notable contract extensions / signings there. But we said on our post draft, and as well as those shows following, It's going to be, it's really interesting. And it's really fun as a hockey fan to really see how creative these teams are getting with all the money that's really not being thrown around. That would be interesting. I think Ottawa is definitely in the running to possibly be in the Taylor Hall conversation next season if he doesn't sign some sort of extension.
I feel like they were thrown around this year a little bit just because of the space that they had.
Yeah.
Maybe not too serious, but you're right. Maybe if they show some improvement, and depending on what Buffalo does, if he wants to sign an extension there, obviously that's a possibility. But yeah. Yeah, I think Ottawa is definitely a real possibility.
Yeah, and then, you know, kind of moving on to, you know, kind of piggybacking off that, since, you know, Ottawa has probably one of the best logos in the league now, let's just, you know, why don't I didn't want to wait till the end because these jerseys, I just love looking at them, man. The Dallas Stars dropped these insane jerseys. I think it was the Twitter equivalent of a mic drop. if I ever saw one, I mean everything about them is great. They do look similar, because I did see you tweet that they do look similar to the blackout jerseys that the Lightning do wear on weekends,
right?
Here and there, but yeah. I would like to have seen them. And then someone said they look like sort of laser tag jerseys, which was interesting. But I do. I would like to see if, you know, whichever player scores, that the logo on the front of their sweater does light up and the whole arena goes dark at that moment. How insane would that be? I mean, yeah. I know you're a fan of these jerseys as well.
I do. I do like them. I was kind of throwing jabs at them, but just like in jest and just in good fun. But overall, I like them. I think they're simplistic and they're not like crazy designed. And it's, you know, I think the neon, just like, who has neon jerseys anymore? I can't remember the last time I saw a neon jersey on anything. So
yeah,
I think maybe like Baylor football had like neon football jerseys or something like that.
Yeah, but
it's cool. It's cool. It's a deep black, you know, color, which is, you don't really see a color that deep in black anymore, but. I do. I think they're a pretty cool jersey. And being an Avalanche fan, I hate to admit that, but yeah.
Well, I think this is, you know, with the Lightning having them, and then obviously now Dallas, I think this could possibly start a trend.
I think so.
With other teams. Yeah. I've seen some other stuff being thrown around in concept jerseys, and I really hope the teams, like, for example, the Rangers, there's talk of them going back to the Statue of Liberty jerseys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
These jerseys are great. I don't know why, but as always, hockey Twitter kind of went the way of negativity and saying that these things were ugly, but hockey Twitter is going to do what hockey Twitter is going to do.
Exactly.
So
yeah, we're seeing a lot of concept art of, you know, third or even fourth jerseys going around. So I think we're going to start seeing more of this. I think we're going to, in the next couple months, see more teams releasing, you know, alternative jerseys. So I think
a big advocate after the Winter Classic that the Avalanche should have kept those jerseys.
The recent one?
Yes. Those were you didn't like those?
I said it many times on my show. They're so bad. They're good.
I love them. I love them.
They're so bad. They're good.
They look like modern art, but I love them.
Yeah. I have one. I own a Makar one. I mean, I had to get one, but yeah, they're not my favorite. But this year, I don't know if you've been listening to they're because this is their 25th year in Colorado. They are going to incorporate a third jersey with the Quebec Nordiques.
That's what the whole thing about McKinnon practicing the other day.
Yes.
And then everybody lost their minds. That'd be great to see.
Yep. So we will see. So, all right, one more piece of business to get to before we do that. We're going to hear from our good friends at Built Bar and their new product, Built Go. And Built Go is the healthy replacement for your energy drink, but it's the energy that's not fake. It's lasting and it's natural. Built Go helps you break through that wall that you may hit sometimes in the afternoon after the morning coffee wears away. It's whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Go every day. It's an easy to take 1.5 ounce pouch. You can put it in your briefcase, in your glove compartment, in your bag, wherever you can keep it. And it's easy to reach. Built Go is the best workout gel in the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. It's like drinking a Monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. Comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter, honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Right now, go to builtgo.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you will get 20% off of your next order. Once again, that promo code is LOCKED, and 20% comes off of your order at builtgo.com. All right, and finally, we don't have a set time or how the NHL is going to incorporate this next season. The last that I heard, they have a couple of they need to choose like something of like between like 3 or 4 different proposals and how they want to do it. And the last I heard was they're all pretty good proposals. They just need to pick the right one. Mm-hmm. And we don't know anything other than that. We don't know what those proposals look like. Everything that I'm reading is just possibilities with different divisions and a Canadian division. And who knows where this could go? We've been hearing January 1st start time or somewhere around there. We just got word that the AHL is going to start February 5th. So I don't know if that's going to have an impact on when the NHL is going to start. But if it was you, if you're wearing the Gary Bettman hat, how do you do this?
Well, there was talk with the league starting up New Year's Day. I'm not entirely sure how reasonable that is, especially from a viewership point of view. I don't know how many people are going to really be up for that game.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, everyone's going to be out the night before partying.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like the idea. I like the idea of really starting the year with hockey.
Yeah, that's true.
I do like their, and I think you propose, I think you actually threw this up on Instagram maybe a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the possible realignment, like you just said, with the Canadian division. I like the Canadian division idea. I think that's something that should be happening during normal
permanent.
let the Canadian teams beat up on themselves and let Canada, let the Canadian fans, you know, go at each other.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. I think that's, you know, that would really, I mean, you know, there's really no need to really promote the game of hockey in Canada. It promotes itself.
Sure.
So, but I think that would really add more fuel to the fire and really maybe kind of start some new rivalries. I mean, I could definitely see maybe a Vancouver Toronto thing, something like that. But it's going to be interesting, and it is unfortunate with the Seattle team starting up and they might not even be able to play in their home arena to start the season. But I think that I do like the one idea that I'm going to have to piggyback on that I have been seen floating around is having an outdoor game on that big lake in Edmonton, with the mountains in the background. I think that's, and when I brought that up to someone, they were like, what if, you know, too much weight on the ice? These people haven't figured it out. I'm not worried about the players falling through the ice. And if they do, then you just play, you know, a man down advantage. That's what you got to do. So I think that January 1st is a great date. Hopefully with the AHL starting February 5th, hopefully that doesn't mean that we're going to have to be waiting till then for the NHL.
Yeah.
I just think they should just keep it. And I'm sure, you know, they did a fantastic job. I think from this previous playoffs, we had 0 coronavirus cases.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever they did, let's keep up the great work. It's going to be a little bit trickier with more teams in the equation.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, we'll have to wait and see, but I would think that, you know, just keep the Canadian teams in Canada. Why travel back and forth over the border?
Is that what you do then, like schedule wise? Like,
I think you would have to.
Tampa would never play a Canadian team. Colorado would never play a Canadian team during regular season.
I would say keep it that way until the playoffs. If you really want to kind of, you know, if we're starting in January, maybe narrow down the season to 60 games.
Mm-hmm.
Just so the players aren't playing 4-5 games a week. That's definitely going to take a toll because, I mean, we're already going to have probably a bunch of injuries with guys really being unable to do their normal regimens in the offseason.
I mean, you play four or five games a week over the course of, you know, 5 months. I think Toronto's going to want to give back Joe Thornton because I don't think he can keep up with that pace, man.
No,
that's... guys like that are that guys like that will have a major impact.
Yeah, the definitely the older players are going to have some issues. I mean, maybe not a guy like Henrik Lundqvist because he's not going to be playing every single game out there in Washington. But yeah, guys like Joe Thornton are really going to have a tough time who are kind of on the back nine of their careers. But and as for kind of trying to make it attractive within that time frame, I would say if you could keep the teams, for example, if you could keep all the teams that are in the Central, as well as the teams on the East Coast and the West Coast, if you could keep those teams in hub cities, you could definitely find ways to maybe do sort of an outdoor game, you know, without having fans. I don't know,
would be so weird though. Like,
yeah, it would be weird and it would be costly, but I mean, I'm sure if in especially in Canada with the outdoor lake games, I'm sure you could make it work.
Yeah.
As for kind of crowd control, I don't know how reasonable that would be, especially in some of the states that have been a little bit more lenient.
Right.
And I have gone on talking long enough, so I'm going to pitch it over to you. You put on your commish hat. What are you thinking about how maybe you will start things off?
I mean, the thing that they got to figure out is the Canadian side of it, because we're, you know, anybody that goes into Canada needs to quarantine for 14 days. So if you are doing something where you're just allowing your arenas to be open, just with no fans, does that satisfy the Canadian government to say like, okay, well they're not, but they're still going home. It's not like they're still in a bubble. So that is going to be the trickiest thing. I don't see how you do anything other than have a Canadian division. That's all they play. But that's, I mean, you're playing the same six teams.
Yeah.
For 60 games minimally, I don't know how that's going to work. They got to set something up with the Canadian government, because if that's how it's going to be, that just might get stale quick playing the same team over and over and over again. So,
well, I know that the Quebec sports administration or whatever fancy name they have, and I'm sure you saw this too, they were not allowing the, I believe it was the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, as well as the OHL, if I'm not mistaken, they weren't, if they were going to play, they were not going to be allowed to have checking in the games to kind of, I guess, social, which is like, you're basically taking 75% of what the game of hockey is away, maybe if not more. So that's kind of something that the NHL would probably have to work out with. I believe the province of Quebec. So I guess they might have to look at Edmonton, maybe Vancouver, Toronto. But I think, you know, if they do decide to have teams travel across the border, they might have to do some sort of kind of bye week scenario, where, you know, maybe since they play, maybe they have where they play four or five games in the span of a week, and then they have a bye week the next week,
right
to where it kind of balances out. There's a lot of question marks.
There's so many because
we don't know what, because Canada's, their government has been somewhat a little bit more careful than maybe the United States government has. So it's going to be interesting. And I think that what we saw from all of, just from the playoffs, is the mental and emotional toll that this is going to take. So maybe we have a Canadian division, or the Canadian teams play each other for the first 2 months and then they switch off. Maybe we have some sort of a rotation where half of the division goes west and then up to Canada.
It's true.
Travel logistics, I don't know how logical that would be. There's so many question marks, but
so we'll see. I mean, I think we should be getting an answer hopefully soon on the route that the NHL is going to go. So whenever it happens, whatever day it happens, if it's on a Thursday, you can hear Adam and I talk about it. If it's any other day, definitely tune in to Locked On NHL, because that'll be definitely big news. So that'll be it for us today. Where can they find you Mr. Adam Denker.
They could find me at AP Denker, D-E-N-K-E-R on Twitter. And then they could also go to the show Twitter page at LO underscore lightning. I'll be talking starting today, actually, about basically all the things Lightning have been doing, but most importantly, all the things they haven't been doing. Ooh. Because they've done absolutely nothing since the draft.
Yes.
So looking forward to that.
All right. And follow my show at LOPN underscore Avalanche, and my personal Twitter page is on there if you want to follow that as well. And Locked On Avalanche on Instagram as well. So, yeah, that'll be it for us. I think we'll be again next week. They haven't told us to stop, so we'll probably be here next Thursday as well.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Enjoy the day. We'll see you next week.